don't hear from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Bootlegging. Food and heat were the two main things our family craved as spring headed towards summer. Ma worked at the home cafe. Each night she'd bring home table scraps that she'd scrape off the customers' plates that day. Sharing the tasty food, no matter their origin, was a looked-forward-to treat. One afternoon, Ma went out again to sell hats. There was a piece of steak left in the pail, and we all looked at it like hungry dogs after a tasty bone. "Let's warm it up," Lorene suggested. "Better not," Lottie cautioned. "Ma could come back." "Ah, she won't," Freeland said. "She'll be talking someone's head off and catching up on the town's gossip before she gets back." So, the luscious steak was soon sizzling in the hot frying pan. All of a sudden, I heard Merle's trembling voice. "Ma's coming!" I stared at the yummy steak, knowing full well that Ma would have a conniption fit finding me with the ill-gotten goods, especially if she'd planned on cutting it into tiny pieces, making a tasty soup out of it. In a state of pure horror, I did the dumbest thing I could have. I dumped it in the burning embers of the old coal cook stove. Thankfully, Ma didn't notice a thing as she ran in to pick up her coat she'd forgotten. Yet, a lot of regrets remained in our humble abode. Clem said it all. "Ah, shucks!" Life was tough. A penny was a penny to spend. Ma struggled to supply the necessities of life, plus a few of the niceties my family and I longed for. At times, I was led down paths of rebellion, and of course, our so-called father was nowhere to be found.
When I was 10 or 11 years old, Ray Madsen and I were running booze out of the old bullion mine near Marysville, Utah.
I think his dad or family was part of the setup. One day we were driving a hopped-up old 1925 Ford truck with a 5-gallon keg of whiskey in the back. My heart began thumping out of my chest as we spied a 1927 police car with a single red light on top, chasing us down the zigzagging washboard treacherous canyon road. Elsinore was the nearest town along that road that wandered through Sevier County's sprawling valley. When we got there, Ray drove off into the side street, came to a clattery stop under some old cottonwood trees. We eluded the shrieking siren of the determined coppers who seemed to be headed toward Ridgefield. About an hour later, when we'd calmed down enough that our knees weren't knocking our feet out of our scruffy shoes, I said, "Ray, you think we ought to find a place to dump this stuff before they catch us with it?" "Probably best to head back to the canyon and find a place to roll it in the river," Ray said. So that's what we did. Stopping by an old bridge, we hefted the heavy keg out of the back of the truck and watched it plummet into the river. Keg shattered like an egg, rumbling and sending wood splinters everywhere. "I better get the truck back to my dad and tell him what happened," Ray said. "Hope he don't tan my hide for this." I jumped out of the truck and said, "I think I'll take my chances and hitchhike to Paiute County. They don't have any jurisdiction there. I don't want to get caught anywhere near you." "Look at you, using big fancy words like jurisdiction," Ray jeered. "You'd know him too if your family had went through a wicked divorce," I replied. "Sorry about that, but stay low until I'm free and clear," Ray said as he spun his tires on the muddy bridge and sped off into the darkened valley below. I shuffled my feet, slowly, hoping yet dreading the thoughts of a ride. Threads of panic ran up my spine as I feared it would be the dreaded police who'd pick me up. At other times, an almost hysterical giggle escaped my throat as I wondered if drunken fish would be flopping and weaving around in the Sevier River, like the memories of pigs and chickens. Seemed like a million years ago, my happier youth. A note on Prohibition. Between 1920 and 1933, Prohibition was somewhat enforced, depending on state and federal laws. On the outskirts of nowhere, Escalante had its segment of cowboys who liked to imbibe their share of alcohol. Therefore, they became quite adept brewing their own in secret hideaways in the desert and red rock hills that made up the landscape. It was usually made with malt and a 5-pound bag of sugar, occasionally 10 pounds, which made it strong. The Escalante cowboys came up with their own concoction, sometime to their own dismay. The sheriff and his deputy were always on the lookout for those who brewed their own, but most of the time failed in their pursuit. This was also true in Sevier County.